forget the dark cloud. And this is for everybody out there who feels this way. If you feel worthy, it's okay. You can do it. You can do it. It's all here. Okay, this is Josh Palmateri at the Josh Palmateri Podcast. Don't forget, you can get us on Google, Spotify, Apple. You can hear it any way you want while you're going to work, while you're working out. Watch it on YouTube. It's Monday, 11 o'clock. That means a new episode. And I always remind everybody, you want to come and see the one-man show, the show that started it all, that Robert De Niro saw. That's how the movie got made. Go to ChazPalmateri.net to come to see it. Where am I, John?
So April 13th, you're going to be in Clarksburg, Virginia at the Robinson Graham Performing Arts Center.
Right.
April 20th, you're going to be in Atlantic City, New Jersey at the Ocean Resorts Casino. May 18th, you're going to be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at the American Music Theater. And May 31st, you're going to be in Ridgefield, Connecticut at the Ridgefield Playhouse.
At the Ridgefield Playhouse, you better get your tickets now because that place sells out real quick. Oh, they all do. And I remind you, go check out my honey pepperoni pizza at my restaurant in White Plains. It's the talk of New York, my honey pepperoni pizza. That's 260 Main Street. And don't forget, fine dining, 30 West 46th Street at my other Charles Palmateri restaurant. Great restaurants. Catherine, April 18th. April tell us 18th. Where you're going to be in Vegas.
I'm very proud you're remembering my dates, and I don't even remember them. I'm going to be at the Mob Museum in Vegas doing an appearance and doing their podcast, their brand new podcast that hasn't aired yet.
Will you be doing signings there as well?
I mean, I hope so. I'd like to. That'd like be to great. Meet some fans in Vegas.
Great. Well, you will be.
Yeah, you'll, that's awesome. Know. I'm sure you have so many.
You have so many. Come. You're big, babe. You're big.
No,
wait. You have a new movie coming out with Robert De Niro. You play his wife.
Alto Nights. I can't wait for that. I heard that they had the test screenings, and it was off the charts.
That's right.
People love it. Now, when is that? Robert De Niro playing two people.
But when is that coming out now?
November 14th, I think.
Yes. November 15th.
Oh, my God.
15th.
November 15th.
It's like this year.
You and Jazz got all the dates.
We got the dates, man.
You get the date.
And I hear Bob De Niro, when he plays two characters, is incredible in it.
Incredible.
Like he always does. And
on his A game.
And Tara, tell us.
Tell us. I am so excited because I finally just locked in my date. I'm going back to Vancouver, June 22nd. I'm very excited about this. So stay tuned for details. It'll be at the Italian Center in Vancouver. It's going to be a great show and a great event. I love going out there. I got to be honest. Sometimes I go other places and it makes me even more proud to be Italian. So Vancouver is definitely one of those places.
Great. All right. So what are we going to talk about today, Catherine? You had a question.
I want to ask you and Tara a few cool questions. And when I ask the questions, I want you guys out there, the audience and fans, to think about it too. Okay. How you would answer it.
Go ahead.
So I have one question, and this one's a simple question, but Tara, I'll ask her first, ladies first.
Ladies first.
What is your biggest fear?
Oh, well, it's dying. I don't want to talk about it because just now I got Actually, I don't even want to say it.
That's everybody's biggest fear.
Dying. And what about you, Jazz?
That I don't fulfill my talent before I die. That I leave something here on the table. That something I could have written, or something I could have done, or somebody I could have saved, or something. I hope that I don't want to waste my talent, whatever it may be. That's my biggest fear.
And you don't think you accomplished that?
No, not yet. No.
Oh, so there's still more you feel. There's still something else.
Yeah, I think my best work is still in front of me.
I love that. Yeah, I love
That's amazing.
I think I just got to get off my ass and do it. I'm trying, but it's been hard because I'm so busy. But if there's you know, if there's a will, there's a way. You got to find the way to do it, and that's it. That's one of my biggest fears, that I lay on my deathbed and I go, damn, I should have wrote that. Yeah.
Wow. Huh. What's yours?
It's always been my biggest fear.
You said it on the podcast once, Catherine, that it was death scared you.
What scared me?
Death.
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid to die.
Yeah, but everybody.
I used to be a hypochondriac and just think that I had everything, but that's because I lost both my parents very young. And I think people that, and I lost a lot of people in family-wise, very young, people that I love. And I think that is part of, like, when people have abandonment issues as a child, you grow up with the same. And I think losing people young, I fear death.
Yeah. Well, the way, and I don't want to sound like this great philosopher, and I was afraid of death absolutely early in my life, but not anymore. I'm afraid of the other thing, like I said. And it's a proven fact. Once you accept death,
yeah,
it becomes easy.
Yeah.
Then it becomes easy. So what happens is when you're afraid to die, you always have anxiety, so you're really mm-hmm. anxiety about the future. And you have anxiety about the past because you didn't do enough and you're going to die. So the best way is, so then you're never really happy. So I always say this is the reason why they call it the present. Hey, you got to live in the present because it's a present. It's God's gift to you to say, live in the present. If you live in the present and do as much as you can do and go with forward motion, like, go out there, work really hard and do as many movies as you can and work really hard and love the people that are close to you, it'll be okay because you can't not do anything about it. Death will be death, and that's it.
I think I could accept, I think as I get older, I can accept the fact. I think it's going before my time, like that's what makes me scared. Like when she asked me and I said it and I have to fly tomorrow to LA, I was like, oh, why did she just ask me that in my head? Oh my God, something, you know, like now I jinxed myself. I also think that I get that way, obsessive that way. And I'll be really transparent because I need help with it. I need therapy with it, I'm sure. And there may be people out there listening to this where, and I just did a clip that went so crazy because I guess it resonated with so many people. But I was like, when things are going good, I automatically go to the doom. What bad is now going to happen because my life is good.
Always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I have a whole thing on it. I just did a whole thing on where did this come from? Where did we get that saying, the shoe to drop, yeah. right? Like I just did a whole thing on it.
Because that, first of all, you don't need therapy. I've been seeing a therapist for 32 years. Dr. Phil Stutz, who I love with a passion. Dr. Phil Stutz, there's a documentary on him called Stutz, brilliantly done by Jonah Hill. He's my therapist. He's everyone's therapist. And he would tell you exactly what I told you. And that is, the first thing you have to do is think about that cloud that you're trying to put on yourself. Mm-hmm. Picture yourself going through it and coming out the other side and smiling. In other words, you'll be fine. Stop thinking about it. You cannot have a negative thought and a positive thought at the same time.
Right.
Why not?
It's impossible. Not at the same moment.
Oh, at the same mm-hmm. moment.
Mm-hmm. You cannot have it's impossible. Yes. You can't do it.
Yeah.
So whenever that negative thought comes in your mind, think of the positive thought like, it's going to be great. I'm going to live to be 100. Mm-hmm. It's a muscle. Mm-hmm. The mind is a muscle. It's like going to the gym. You lift 10 pounds, then you get 20 pounds. I have negative thoughts in my head. Shit, imagine if somebody had a machine that could capture every thought in your head. Mm-hmm. You go to jail. They'll put you in the insane asylum.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, all of us. Yeah. So what you do is you make those positive thoughts. I always think it's going to end up great. Always. And you know what? And it does.
If you do that,
because you're sabotaging yourself.
It's self-sabotage. It's negative self-talk. I also think it's culturally ingrained in us. Don't talk about the good. Don't brag about the good. Don't say things that are good. You know, that was something within my roots, within my family.
All Italians did that.
A lot of Italians do this. And now I find myself, like, I'm going to LA tomorrow, and I'm like, where's the impending doom? Oh, I can't even say it because it freaks me out.
Because you're putting that on you, Catherine.
I'm Tara.
I'm sorry, Tara. You're putting that on you. And if you wish for it enough, it'll happen.
Okay.
So you got to stop doing that.
You're right.
We are made of matter. Human beings are made of matter. The world, the universe is made out of the same matter. Same thing. If you concentrate on your life being good, I knew I was going to make it when I was dead broke. I knew it. I saw myself in this position constantly. I saw it. I saw myself working with the greatest stars in the world and being an actor and making a lot of money. I saw it and I believed it and it happened. And I'm convinced that it happened because I did that. And you have to change that outlook.
Yeah.
You have to. Otherwise, you're sabotaging yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're blowing up now like crazy. And so, see, what happens is, let me explain to you. What happens is, in psychology, what Phil Stutz would tell you is, the more good that's happening to you, the reverse is the same. It's coming up to get you. That's normal. The negative, as soon as the positive comes up, the negative comes even higher. Because, we're getting serious now.
God.
The negative forces in the world, the demonic forces, the negative forces, whatever you want to call them, when they see people really doing good, they go, whoa, stop this bullshit. That's why those thoughts are in your head. So why do you see like, a congressman was caught behind a door with a young boy. You say to yourself, how the fuck could that happen? This guy's a congressman. How could that happen? Because he fell prey to the negative voices or whatever they may be. So when you get positive voices, you keep them and you push the neck. You give the negative voices the Heisman. You know, the Heisman. Push mm-hmm, away. Mm-hmm. Back away. And that's what you do. Always remember, the bigger you get, the more those negative voices attack you. As long as you know that, you can laugh at it.
Right.
And say, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're not going to ruin this.
Yeah.
No. I'm not going to open my mouth and say something stupid. I'm not going to yell at somebody. I'm not going to show up late. I'm not going to curse at the owner. I'm not going to fuck up my career. I'm not going to take drugs. I'm not going to take alcohol. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything that fucks up my career. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, negative voices. Mm. That's how mm-hmm. you got to be.
Yeah.
And
that's how you have to be. Yeah, yeah.
And you will see the change.
Yeah.
Stop thinking that.
Yeah, I think negative things.
You're on your way. You're blowing up. You're going to be a star. It's happening.
People are afraid.
No. Don't shake your head.
No, I know.
People are afraid of success and
yes.
they self-sabotage it.
Yes.
You're not accepting that you're good enough and you don't think you're worthy of it and you self-sabotage
yes.
it.
Yes. You know why?
You're afraid of it.
You're afraid of it. We all get afraid of it. I got a little afraid of it when I just blew up. Catherine got a little afraid of it when she just, but you accept, you say, you know what? I fight through this. I belong here. I deserve to be here. As opposed to one of those people that go, I'm waiting for somebody to blow a whistle going, hey, what are you doing here? Come on. We made a mistake.
You're an imposter.
Come on. We got to go back.
It's imposter syndrome.
Yes.
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 That's
you know
a big
why?
Thing.
Because being a success means you have a responsibility now. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants that responsibility, folks.
But it's also shaking off the unworthy child that doesn't feel enough.
Yes.
And they don't feel worthy of it.
Yes.
Yes. This is
shaking
yes.
off that child.
This is therapy class
yes.
for you.
This, I got therapy session today, guys. I don't know who I got to give my copay to on this
You have to totally forget the dropping of the shoe. Forget the dark cloud. And this is for everybody out there
yes.
who feels this way. Yeah. If you feel worthy, it's okay. You can do it. You can do it. It's all here. Matter is out there. Your matter. Attach yourself to the good matter. Forget the bad, the negative. And watch your success happen.
And I share it because I think people do see me in a positive light or do see things happening for me. And I want you guys to know, nobody's immune to it. I get just as insecure, have the feelings of being unworthy, like Catherine said. You know, those are all really
real feelings.
Well,
here's the next question now for
Let's
that.
See. Let's what go. Good. Ask
Here it.
It
is. The next question.
Wait a minute. Before you say that. Okay. So in other words, how you feel, Richard Pryor felt that way.
I know.
Jim Belushi felt that
I
way.
Oh, I know.
Maybe Robin Williams felt that way.
Oh, 100%.
You're talking about three of the greats.
I know.
And you're concerned about you?
Huh.
Come on.
Little old me?
Okay,
I know.
But that's what made him so great.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
They fought through that. Like you fight through it.
I'm going to fight
through it. Right before we switch gears, that is the second biggest fear among people of not being good enough and fear of failure.
Yes.
So if it's perfectly with the first question, death. So right next to death is fear of failure and not being good enough.
And worthy, right? Worthy, you feel not. But so here's the next question. What are three words you would like, if people were talking about you, to describe you? Oh. What are three words you'd like to be described as? Chaz or Tara first? Three words, if people were in a room talking.
I got them.
Oh, yeah, Chaz. Chaz, you go. Me? I mean, Tara, you go.
Funny, kind, loyal.
A good man.
That's one.
Well, three.
A good man. Three words.
Yeah. No, come on. Three descriptions. Three. What is it? Adjectives.
Yeah. Loyal.
Okay.
Kind. Loving.
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 You.
But.
Humble.
Yeah, I say that. Bitch.
Giving.
No, not bitch, no.
Generous, generous, yes.
Giving.
Yes.
Giving.
I don't mean of giving of things, giving,
well, giving
of yourself.
You're very giving.
Inspiring.
Inspiring. All right.
You know, when you asked that, the first thing I thought for him was loyal. The first thing I thought for you was generous. And those were each something you said for yourself.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought of him as loyal and you as generous.
See, so that might be in a room.
For somebody who knows you both really well, it's nice to know that those were my first thoughts.
Yeah, that is.
Of you guys.
So next question.
All right. Oh, she's coming in.
She's
coming in heavy.
Yeah. What is your best trait and what is your worst trait?
You want to go? Nope. My best trait is my perseverance. I got to get it done no matter what. I don't give a shit. If I die doing it, then I'll do it.
I like that.
My perseverance.
I like
John?
That.
I've seen it firsthand.
Okay.
I like that.
My perseverance is off the charts. And my worst trait
is off the charts.
I would have to say it's not good too. My worst trait is my complete stubbornness. Sometimes I'm just so stubborn.
Wow.
But that helps my perseverance.
Okay, as long as it helps.
Yeah, it does.
So then it's not your worst trait. That would, if something helps your best trait, that's not your worst trait. So we're going to have to think of something.
Well, there's a yin and a yang in life.
No, sometimes I'm so stubborn, but but in the end, then I find out that person was right. And I go, I should have been more open to that. You know, so I admit that sometimes, yeah. But my stubbornness helps my perseverance, I would say.
Miss Canastracy?
My best trait? I'd say my best trait is my ability to be compassionate for others. I think I get the most fulfillment out of life when I'm doing something, whether it's performing and making somebody laugh or just listening or helping, or that's my ability to read a room is probably my best trait, because I can see if somebody's struggling or somebody needs something. I think I read people really well, and that's what I'd say my best trait is. My worst trait is probably
somebody's hungry.
My worst
He's
trait
growl.
His stomach just growls at that. Yeah. See, I can sense he needs food. Yeah. And my worst trait is my obsessive compulsiveness to do things. Like I am it's not like just a perfectionist. I like will upset. I have to obsessively get things done in a certain way. It makes me efficient, makes me super efficient, right? There's a positive side to everything that could be negative about you. But the amount of mental exhaustion I get in doing things a certain way, you see it firsthand with things that I do. If it's decorating a house, or if it's planning a trip, or if it's like, it encompasses all of me.
Yeah.
And it's it could be debilitating.
Wow.
So that's, and Catherine, your best trait?
I think my best trait is believing that anything's possible, believing in the impossible. I like that I still have a childlike belief in people and everything is good and look at the glass half, you know, half full, and there's possibilities. And then my worst trait is probably, I have so many great things that ideas I'm really good at. I have great ideas, but my procrastination on moving them and getting them to where they got to go. I'm not somebody who's on top of shit like that. I work at getting the idea very well and doing it, but to execute it and get it out there, maybe not so much. I'm a procrastinator little bit.
Yeah. And it just takes harder work.
And the other thing is, I always say, I'm going to make a t-shirt. I'm not a planner. I'm a canceler. I cancel everything. So if I show up to your event, that's a good thing. I really like you. But okay, next.
Go ahead.
You have another one? Oh, yeah. Man.
Listen, Naduch is here today.
Naduch.
I don't know why we're all snapping,
Kathy,
but I'll
Moriarty
go with it.
Moriarty gave me that nickname many, many years ago. I love you, Kathy Moriarty. Okay. This one's kind of fun. If you were to come back, if you were to die and come back, die, sorry. When you're 120 and you pass away, if you could come back as anything.
Animal?
Animal. Okay, then you got to go first.
Eagle.
Oh.
I've always said that, an eagle.
Why an eagle?
I don't know. I always had this thing about birds, and an eagle is something about America. It's the baldy. It's an eagle that just. It's a loyal bird. It's a great bird. I just always loved eagles.
Well, a lion is the king of the jungle. Eagles are the king of the sky. Maybe.
I don't know. I just always loved eagles. I love where they nest on the mountains, and they're protected so you can't kill them. I just love eagles.
Wow, that's
I've always
nice.
I've always felt that way. Always. I don't know.
And how about you?
I don't like the question. I thought lion. My lion was the first thing when it came to me, because it's king of the jungle, and you know, when you just said that, lion was the first thing I thought. I think there's something really peaceful about giraffes, and maybe I would just want a nice, easy, going.
Until you have a lion on your neck taking you down with three other lions.
I mean, she just can't help herself, folks. She just can't help herself, folks. What animal?
I'm obsessed with animal
What
videos.
Animal do you want to be?
What animal do you want to be?
Always, and it will never change, a
tell.
Whale.
Okay, I was going to get
it. Because I feel like once I die, and I'm very, I'm a person who really never stops. Like, I'm always running around.
It's a whale.
I may not be getting anything done, but I run around a lot.
Right.
And this busy, crazy, loud world, and all, like I'm talking about when we were talking about social media and all that, being a whale and being down in that world and being alone and quietly going through another lifetime, but gracefully, quietly, down, alone,
whales
quiet.
Whales live a long time.
And they live a long time, wow. And they have a little family, a forever person. And I just want to be a whale. I like that I'd like to live in Alaska, if I, you know, my location, or Oregon, and be a whale.
Wow.
To be alone, a loner.
I think that's great. I think I got a great idea for a cartoon. That's a great idea. I mean, that's a great idea that if three people wish that and then they come back as it, but they still have the same mind. So I'm flying around as an eagle going, what the fuck, you wanted this? All right, now I got to go get food.
It starts off with a podcast, and then you see.
You know. Well, don't you remember with Don Knotts, the incredible Mr. Limpet? He went as a fish.
That's right.
He turned, and he has glasses, even when he was the fish.
That's
he
right.
still had the
yeah.
glasses.
Wow. All right, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. I mean,
This was intense.
You're getting these things from the internet, or you're just.
Well, a lot of them I made up, but a lot of them that I've heard already.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Wow. Yeah, what animal would you like to be, folks? Let us know. We like to hear that. Is there one animal that I would like to know? Is there one animal that people pick mostly? I bet the animal that people pick mostly is a horse.
Oh, I would say lion.
But I think the lion is too much work. You got to go eat another animal, tear little animals. And
how about you, John?
too much work.
If I could be an animal?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
What would you come back as?
Oh, man. I was going to say lion right when you guys said that. I feel like that would be fun.
Yeah.
Just be fun to chase.
Honestly, I want to change my animal. I want to come back as one of Gianna's dogs.
Oh, God. Oh, that's a point. Great one.
Gianna's dog. That's what I want to come back as.
Yeah, that's
the way she takes care of her animals.
Oh, my God. My wife.
My God. She was hand feeding Coco. And
she makes my
bottle
dogs.
Bottle feed the dogs.
Oh, yeah. No, my dogs are people. Yeah. She treats them like they're people.
My sister does, too.
She did?
A lot of people. Yeah, a lot. People have strollers for their dogs.
We have a stroller.
I was there. We were in the city. Paris went to high tea with us. Their dog Paris came to high tea with us for Gianna's birthday in her stroller.
In her stroller.
Yeah.
I could tell you stories about my wife and animals. You wouldn't even go there. You know, we'll be driving on things. She'll go, there's a dove. There's a little dove. You know, does it have a I go, what are we going to do? Catch the dove? How are we going to catch the dove? I mean, forget it. There's a fawn. There's a baby fawn. Where's the mother? We should wait here until the mother shows up.
I believe that. I believe that story.
We're going to stay on the side. I'm telling you.
I believe it.
In the Hamptons, I'm surprised she don't work with animals.
In the Hamptons, there was a fawn, and we had to wait there for 10 minutes to see if a mother was around.
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
You remember that?
Yep.
I said, what am I going to do, honey?
Her mother wasn't. She thought the fawn was her mother.
No, she was waiting for the mother, like to show up.
Oh, I thought she said
the doe.
You said
she was waiting for the doe to show up.
I thought you said they were waiting to see if her mother showed up, like it was a sign her mother was coming.
Oh, no, the fawn.
You're really deep today. I mean, this is deep pity.
Well, no, the fawn crossed the street in front of us, and then she says, "Wait here. The doe should be around close." So we had to wait there. I had to wait there for 15 minutes on a lonely road in the Hamptons, waiting for the doe to go by.
I wonder if she should have worked, get a little job beside thing, like at an animal rescue.
She'd be great as that.
Yeah.
Or she had nursing.
If it was up to her, we would have 9 dogs. We had 4 at one time.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, that's a lot, you know? Yeah.
One time, Diane Warren and I were driving, and I saw a hummingbird was trying to fly on a crowded street in L.A. We picked it up, threw it in a box, and took it to, if you could believe this, an hummingbird sanctuary 2 hours away. And we had the bird in the car, and the bird was like half dead in this box. And we called up, and he said, can you get a syringe, some sugar, water, and give it to the... We stop at a CVS. I buy a syringe. I buy water. I'm giving it the... holding this thing. After we gave it, we put it back in the box. The hummingbird lay there. 2 seconds later, we're still driving to this place. The hummingbird pops flying up and starts flying all around the truck. And we're like, oh, my God.
You let him out of the car?
No, because then he fell down again. And I swear to God, this is a true story, Diane Warren will confirm. By the end of the trip, the hummingbird was dying. At the end, when a hummingbird dies, it lets out a scream like a woman. It was like, I was oh my God, it was the creepiest, scariest thing.
What did you do?
It let out a scream. It was going around in a circle and Diane was going, oh my God, oh my God. We get to the place, the guy opens the door. There's all these cocoons hanging. Cocoons. Look like something from a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Hanging from chains, big cocoons. Hundreds of them like this, hanging.
Right.
He takes it. And that joke, and he's sort of like giving like a mouth-to-mouth thing. He goes, it died. And me and Diane was hysterical crying, and it died.
This story did not have a happy ending. She keeps going
you
back.
You put us all through that.
You put me through this to bring back death? Did she really make it go full circle to the one topic I've been trying to get off? You gave me a 2-hour drive. That ended like that?
Oh my God.
He landed at death's door.
I thought
who's driving Catherine back today?
Because
it's
great
not
ending.
Me. Anybody want to give her a ride home? I'm not doing this on the way home.
Folks, I'm sorry for that 5-minute story.
Sorry for the most beautiful story that we thought a hummingbird getting mouth to mouth was going to survive, but Catherine today is not on that.
How do you feel about the hummingbird story, folks?
I don't want to know.
Please let us know. This is Josh Palmateri, and it's been great today. I mean, you know, us three together, God knows you don't know what. Send your questions. We like to answer them. I just want to say this is Josh Palmateri. Catherine, Tara.
Thank
Tara
you.
Jokes, April 18th, Vegas. MobCon, right?
Yeah.
And me.
Proud of him.
JoshPalmateri.net. God bless you. Go to my restaurants. Have some of that pepperoni pizza. See you next week.
Cut.